All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just right there off of the last one, off the pregame with Bukele speaking there, that's the next step that's going to have to be taken, is we're going to have to deal with, whether it's prosecutions, whether it's impeachments, whatever it is, these corrupt judges that are trying to stop the Trump administration. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Keylime 13 is on. Robin Aroni is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Six Lens on. Scooter 8887 is on. Mike Griffith's on. Dave Souders is on. Todd Suff is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. P. Sus is on. Sexy Pony's on. Richard Perry's on. Lady Boo's on. Granite 2468 is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Confederate One is on. LA 106 Times is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Malamute Lover is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Biggie 92678 is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Abseek Truth is on. Whammy Jammer's on. Those Jesus people is on. Alaska Man 1165 is on. Let me see here. Anybody I missed here? D9597 is on. Ambully's on. John Phillips is on. Scooting down to the bottom. There we go. Jules 21 Hours on. Judy Anita's on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Let's hop right to the judge stuff here. Julie Kelly tweet. Chief Justice John Roberts. So John Roberts has come out basically and said to Trump, do not impeach judges. It's not the right thing to do. Well, you know, we wouldn't have to impeach judges if he actually ruled correctly. And this is the man who actually said to Judge Ali, and that was the unfreezing of the, I believe I'm trying, it's been so many of these Norm Eisen instigated, judge shopped, District 9 at San Francisco, California, the 9th District, cases that it's really actually difficult to remember which one is which. So which the Judge Ali case, I'm trying to remember which one that was, but regardless of it, Ali put out a temporary injunction stopping or starting something from the Trump administration. And Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett were the two dissenting opinions on the conservative side, causing Trump to lose at the Supreme Court. Not really losing, but again, that's what it was, the USAID funding. And this Judge Ali ordered Trump to unfreeze funds. And then it went to the Supreme Court. And Roberts and Coney Barrett both said that this judge had judicial hubris, which means overstepping his bounds, but then sided with him. So he, in the same exact dissenting, the majority opinion says that the judge was wrong, but they sided with him. That's a real good summation of our current judicial system and of our Supreme Court. But so they said he had significant judicial hubris, and then what it got kicked back, and what it will end up being is the judge, they kicked it back to Judge Ali, who has dual citizenship in both Canada and the United States of America, and is a Democratic Party activist himself, which that means you should never be a judge. I know people are Democrats, and I know people are Republicans, but you cannot, if you're going to be a judge, then you cannot be an activist on either side. Well, we all agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you were a Democrat, would you want to be in front of a Republican activist judge? But what Democrats say to us is, and all they do, of course, is judge shop and make sure that we're standing in front of Democrat activist judges like Shutkin, like Engeron, like Mershon. And they make sure that we're in front of all those people, whether it's in Connecticut with Alex Jones, Austin, Texas with Alex Jones, and all the other cases. So they make sure, and then they just say, if you dare say that these judges are Democratic Party activists, which they all are, then you are a threat to the democracy. You are demeaning our institutions. You're attacking it. Well, I am attacking the institution. If the institution means that you're going to stick me in front of my political opponent to decide whether or not I go to jail or not. I mean, yeah, I would explicitly say that is a corrupt system, which is that's the system that we are in right now. And when it was kicked back to Ali had to make a decision. What the court said is that the judge is going to have to be specific with the Trump administration and tell them where and when they can spend money. So what is Roberts and Kavanaugh thinking? Under Article 2, a judge can't tell the executive branch what to do. I thought we had, didn't Aaron Craig move on? Don't we have separation of powers?
Yep.
Isn't it three separate powers, so to speak? Judicial, legislative, and executive? Isn't that the way that it is? Then how can the judicial tell the executive what to do? And then that Judge Ali is going to specifically tell Trump, freeze this, unfreeze that, you have to unfreeze it. So, and then what those specific decisions will be kicked back to SCOTUS, and Trump will probably win then. So here we are at the latest. This is the guy who already knows, Judge Roberts, who again just wants to be the reasonable conservative in the room, just like the lukewarm Christians who want to be acceptable to the world, so they don't preach the gospel. They simply just preach that Jesus loves you. Don't worry about your sin. Jesus loves you. Just to have a relationship with Jesus. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. You're preaching that so that you'll be acceptable in societal circles. And Judge Roberts wants to be, you know, at the cocktail bars, ooh, Judge Roberts. And he wants the Democrats to say, you know what, sometimes he sides with us. He's very reasonable. He bows at the altar and bends over at the altar of reasonableness. No, what you're supposed to do if you're a judge is bow at the altar of the Constitution. Whatever the Constitution says is correct. The same thing if you're a Christian. Whatever the Bible says is correct, whether it sits well with you or not. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Proverbs 21:30. That's the way that it is. That's how it is. And that's how you'll be judged too. All right. So Chief Justice John Roberts confirms SCOTUS will sit by and watch the partisan, reckless federal judiciary torch the Constitution. Roberts in a new statement responding to President Trump and others call to impeach James Boasberg. For more than two centuries, it has been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to disagreement. This is Roberts speaking right here. For more than two centuries, it has been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to disagreement concerning a judicial decision. The normal appellate review process exists for that purpose. Judicial disagreement, ? Go to the next one for me. So now with the Chief Justice saying, basically, don't impeach these judges. Now, what do you do with that opinion? If you're Eli Crane and you're in the Congress, what do you do with that opinion? Blow it off. He has no authority anyway. But for the day now, he gives power and he gives energy and he gives enthusiasm to hacks like CNN. And here we have, of course, Dana Bash, whose ex-husband at the time, orchestrated the 51 former intel chiefs who said that the Hunter Biden laptop had sure earmarks of Russian disinformation. But Chief Justice Roberts, gave them a nice infusion of hope today. Play it for me.
Paula, wow, this is a very big deal.
This is a huge deal. Here you have Chief Justice John Roberts appearing to push back on statements President Trump made earlier today, suggesting that a judge, James Boasberg, who of course temporarily blocked deportations by the Trump administration, or at least tried to, should be impeached. And here the Chief Justice writes, for more than two centuries, it has been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to disagreement concerning a judicial decision. The normal appellate review process exists for that purpose.
So Dana Bash gets a little hopes up for the day. This is big. This is huge, she says. And they get their hopes up for the day. They're still going to lose, but they get their hopes up for the day. John Roberts is simply delaying the inevitable. The inevitable will be either Trump blows off all of these, Andrew Jackson. Like Andrew Jackson says, you know what? If the judges make a ruling, let them enforce it. What federal law enforcement agency is going to enforce a federal judge's ruling? Nobody. There is nobody. The DOJ is run by the executive, and the judicial is ruling against the executive, which has the police department, which is the FBI, the ATF, and federal law enforcement. So Mike Lee puts this out today, Senator Mike Lee. Impeachment is a non-justifiable political position. Question. Do you guys usually side by side them, don't you?
Oh, whoops.
Sorry. No, usually, so there you go. Okay, it's throwing me off because I'm like, is it really on? Is everybody
sorry
actually
about that,
seeing
yeah.
this? Okay, impeachment is a non-justifiable political question assigned by the Constitution to Congress, one of the two political branches of the U.S. government, and not the courts. Frankly, I'm surprised that Chief Justice John Roberts is publicly opining on such matters. Leave this up. So why in the world is Judge Roberts giving a statement? Why is he commenting on something that has nothing to do with him? If you are going to be unbiased and nonpartisan, keep your mouth shut and be unbiased and nonpartisan. But instead, he's actually opining on the side of the Democrats, saying, don't impeach, don't impeach. Wait a minute, aren't you contradicting yourself? Because you're saying the judiciary is allegedly separate from all of these political wranglings, right? But yet here you are in the midst of the political wranglings, opining your opinion. Either do what you say or don't say anything. He's simply saying, you know what, judicial proceedings are outside of the realm of political partisanship and political fights. And then he weighs in on the political argument. Shouldn't he just stay out of it and let us wrangle, us peons in the legislative process, us peons that vote? Shouldn't they just let us weigh in? And Senator Mike Lee makes a very good point there. Why are you opining on the very thing that you say the court is above and not involved with? Now, where the heck am I?
Amuse.
Okay. Adam Hughes. So, go ahead and go to that one. Pick up from Adam Hughes. Here he goes. Daughter of Obama-appointed judge blocking Trump's deportation. Oh, this is strange. Works for an NGO. So, here's Busberg now. And he's not the first.
Wow.
In these cases, he's not the first. He's at least the second judge that was found out to be funded by or running NGOs themselves as a judge. How can you be a nonpartisan judge when you are ruling things that affect your financial bottom line? I.e. Mershon, and that's not the example that I'm using up. I'm talking about the Norm Eisen injunction, judge shopping, jurisdiction shopping lawsuits against the Trump administration. Those judges, this is at least the second one, tied to NGOs, directly receiving money from NGOs. And again, just to set this up, in case you're new watching this podcast, what the United States is simply about right now, we're supposed to be a republic, but what we are, we're supposed to be a federalist constitutional republic. But what we are basically is we are a Ponzi scheme where you and I give somewhere between 20 and 40% of our income per year to a federal government. And that federal government forms NGOs, and some of the actual, like the entities of the government themselves are nothing more, although called government agencies, are nothing more than NGOs themselves, like the Department of Education, where really 75% of their money goes to consultants. Thought it went to kids in schools. No, we'll get to that in a minute when we get to the DOGE section. But anyway, it doesn't. Most of the Department of Education money, I think their budget's like $280 billion a year. For what? What do your kids get out of that? Nothing. But the rest of it, they give, like, I don't know what it is here. I have the Harry Hageman segment on this, but I don't want to give the wrong numbers. But basically, 75% of it goes out for consultancy fees. And where do you get these consultants? Can anybody guess? NGOs. So really, what they do is the Department of Education is really nothing more than an NGO itself, staffed completely and totally by Democrats, who hires out for consultants, NGOs that were also, because you get these $280 billion goes to form the Department of Education, then hundreds of billions go to form NGOs that then give consultation to the government NGOs in and of themselves. So and all of these things are fully staffed by Democrats. You have Democrats paying other Democrats to pay other Democrats to pay other Democrats. That's the United States of America. And really, by the way, that's all we are. With notable few exceptions, that's really all that we are. And here you have it right here, Judge, a daughter of Busberg himself. Obama appointed judge blocking Trump's deportation. Remember, this is the judge who told Donald Trump to turn planes around mid-flight. Imagine, you talk about judicial hubris. Imagine the audacity of telling the president of the United States to turn planes around that are heading for Venezuela or heading for El Salvador. I'm not sure which one. I think it was El Salvador. Imagine that. But you actually think that you have the power to do that. And his own daughter, though, of course, let's look at it. Daughter of of Obama-appointed judge blocking Trump's deportation works for an NGO defending Trende Agua and MS-13 members, the same ones that were being flown down to El Salvador. Judge James Bosberg's daughter, Catherine Bosberg, works for Partners for Justice. Now, what you can do here is simply, of course, dissect that term. That would be Partners for Injustice, should be the proper name, a pro-illegal immigration NGO that receives over half of its funding from USAID and or other government grants. So you have all of these judges whose these NGOs are formed, fully staffed by Democrats, paying Democrats. I wonder how much Catherine makes per year. I wonder how much she makes working for the Partners for Injustice. These NGOs are formed via our taxpayer dollars. We're $37 trillion in debt, fully staffed by Democrats. The Partners for Justice, and then those NGOs give money to other NGOs like Jewish Family Services, Catholic Family Services, that are also on the border, that are also NGOs that are receiving our taxpayer dollars. And those taxpayer dollars, they hire out Democratic Party law firms like Perkins Coie. They give funding to Democratic Party campaigns. They give funding to Planned Parenthood. You and I have been funding our own political demise for the last 40 freaking years. USAID and or other government grants, the organization provides legal advice and representation to Tren de Agua and MS-13. And lo and behold, you have a flight full of MS-13 and Tren de Agua heading for El Salvador, and her daddy turns the plane around so that his daughter can continue to receive NGO funds. And it's funny that Judge Ali did basically the exact same thing, making sure, as a Democrat himself, that Democrats like Catherine Bosberg continue to get paid. Because there's no Republicans involved in these NGOs. None. You're like, yeah, there's a few, Tom. You're talking about Brookings Institute. Yeah. Who are they exactly? They're not Republicans. They're Mitch McConnell establishment rhinos that are nothing more than a leftist themselves. They are leftists in disguise to hold seats that a true conservative could actually hold. All right, let's go wherever I'm at. Go to the next one. My hairy sister. Now, this is just a fun thing. Before we get to Doge, I had to put this out here because it's hysterical. Harry Sisson, if you ever watched, he is one of the most irritating people on the planet. Absolutely disgusting, contrived moron. But he put this out. He's one on there, for months. I got to spend time with Joe Biden. He's the strongest I've ever seen him. This is a great, vibrant man, all that. He's a little like 20, 22-year-old idiot. All right, America failed women tonight. Look at November 6, 2024. Trump bullied, assaulted, stripped reproductive rights away from women all across the country. Instead of standing against it, many, many voted for it. We have failed our daughters, our mothers, and our sisters. Here's the next, but let's look at what was posted about Harry today. Play for me. 1 year later, but not play for me, put up there for me, thank you. Sarah Fields, Harry Sisson, convinced 11 different women that he had no roster and respected them for more than their bodies while persuading them to send explicit photos of themselves through Snapchat. Is Harry failing our mothers and our sisters and our daughters? Including one from a domestic abuse survivor. What a great human being these Democrats are. When the women discovered each other, one by one, he called them all insane. Just like, remember? You actually had Hillary Clinton in charge of Bill Clinton's bimbo attacks. They actually had a bimbo attack unit whenever somebody credibly, because it was credible every single time, alleged that Billy had an affair with them. That you had a Hillary Clinton bimbo assault unit ready to demean the person, ready to defame the person, ready to humiliate the person and call them insane, just like Harry Sisson. So all of these alleged women defenders in the Democratic Party, these alleged people that are for women are actually little pervs themselves. When the women discovered each other, one by one, he called them all insane and attempted to coerce one of them into telling the public that the photos were fake. So he wants them to lie, and he calls them insane, and he coerces women and then claims to be an advocate for women. What a great human being these people are. While he butchers about 22 million women in the womb per year as an advocate for women. That's Democratic Party on the whole, by the way. A request to the reader, set political differences to the side. I believe both sides of the aisle can agree that this is unacceptable behavior from a man child who with collectively over 2 million followers on TikTok and Twitter. So there, that's the true Democrat Party. All right, so let's get into Doge. Now, here is this Elon Musk video with Harriet Hageman. Here is the perfect summation of why Doge is needed. Play it for me.
So is the Doge program targeted at these bureaucrats?
Yes.
And so what can you expect?
Well, let's look at the Department of Education. The Federal Department of Education has a budget of about $280 billion a year. Less than 25% goes to educating our students. So where does the other $220 billion go? It goes to a bureaucracy. It goes to a consultant. And that consultant then donates money back to the Democrats. And then it goes to a different consultant. And then it goes to an NGO. It is money laundering and money churning at its absolute best. And you can look at almost every single agency and you will find it. So the brilliance of Doge isn't that he's going in and cutting spending. He doesn't have the authority to do that. We're the ones that have the authority to do that. What I want him to do is come up with a report, go through agency by agency by agency, identify every single program that we should not be funding, put a number attached to it. We slap a preamble on the front of that report, and we say that every single agency is having their budget cut by X amount as shown in the attached report, and none of those programs can go forward from here on out.
And this is why Democrats are losing their minds over Elon Musk. It's all about money.
Not one Democrat in America voted for Elon Musk. Elon Musk is seizing the power that belongs to the American people. We are here to fight back.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. God bless Representative Harriet Hageman from Wyoming. God bless you and your family. Catch you on the next one.
Hey, for those of you that I see punkin' drifting on wood, Robin are only talking about my raccoon eyes. You're right. I've had them ever since I was a cop. I can't get rid of them. I'm addicted to sunglasses, and I'm out in the sun for hours and hours every day. So I'm not much of an indoor guy. I'm outside a lot. So anyway, yeah, that's how I look all the time. I've looked like, you can go back to videos.
Yeah.
When Aaron was 20 years old, and I mean, I looked exactly the same. Fatter, thinner, but whatever. Various states of fatness. But anyway, this is how I always look. Love you guys. I seriously love you in the chat. All right, so anyway, right there, Department of Education, I was right on the number. $280 billion budget. 25% of that goes to education. 25% of that goes to education. Aaron, see if you can get the debt clock up at some point. So 20%, 25%, there you go, 25%. $280 billion budget, $280 billion budget, 25% of that goes into education. Remember what happened with COVID. We spent $7 trillion on COVID and only $800 billion went to COVID. No, Tom, you just said we spent $7 trillion on COVID. No, $7 trillion was allocated for COVID. And we only spent $800 billion on COVID itself. And all that was wasted money too on a non-pandemic. But 25% of it goes to education. They got $220 billion left. And as Harry Hageman said, all it does is it goes to NGOs. All of this is fully the Department of Education. Really is an NGO in and of itself. Even though it's a government entity, it's still really an NGO. It's because it's fully staffed by Democrats. And then they use their extra $220 billion that they don't spend on students to create NGOs that are fully staffed by Democrats, that form other NGOs that are fully staffed by Democrats, and they hire lawyers to form the other NGOs. And all the lawyers are Democrats. It's just a giant Ponzi scheme. It is a giant scheme to simply make Democrats wealthy. That's it. That's the entire functionality of our government. That is it. It really is. I mean, you're like, Tom, it's more complex than that. No, it's not. The Department of Education proves it in and of itself. USAID, 98% of the employees at USAID donated to Democrats. 98%. 95% of Washington, D.C. voted for Joe Biden. So they're simply they're using our taxpayer dollars to enrich themselves. That's the entire problem. Yes, there's other things, and there's other corruption. There's people dying in vaccines. But if you get into COVID, they have funded themselves with COVID. Where are the other... If they allocated $7 trillion to fight the global pandemic, and they only spent $800 billion fighting the global pandemic, and those $800 billion were sent to Democrats too, well then the $6.2 trillion, where did it go? It went to Democrats. Didn't go to you. Didn't go to me. Didn't go to Republicans getting rich. I can give you a list. I didn't have time to put it on the show, but I had a whole list of what very wealthy Democrats received from COVID funding. Again, that's all really NGO money or straight. It doesn't even have to be NGO. It can go straight from the federal government into the hands of Democrats. So where did the $220 billion go? It went to other Democrats. It went to Democrats, went to NGOs, went to consultancy fees, to lawyers, to campaigns. for Democrats. Not $1 went to a Republican. And that's why they're so afraid. They're so afraid of Doge. Why would you advocate to keep this going? Why? What rational human being, whether you're Ilhan Omar, whether you're AOC, Iona Presley, Chuck E. Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, why would you ever advocate for this? Because Nancy Pelosi, on a $275,000 salary, is worth $200 million because of insider trading. But I also guarantee you she's benefited from NGOs. And here we go. We're about to hit another million right now. Every 19 to 22 seconds, we spend $1 trillion. $1 million. Every 20 seconds, we spend $1 million. We just crossed it right there. We just crossed it. And we'll cross it again. Look, it's not slowing down. Because, by the way, the CR continued spendings at this level that we just passed. Now, proving this, what Ariad Eggman just said, and just to reiterate, $280 billion Department of Education budget, only 25% of it goes to education. Who does the $220 billion go to? People like Randy Weingartner. And here's an Adam Hughes video. Play it for me.
And when they cut half the people, it's like evisceration by 1,000 cuts. Yeah. So you want to do this? Have the fight with us in Congress. Let's make sure we get the issues out there. I'm so mad. I'm spinning mad about this because it's hurting the people who can't vote. Children don't vote. Let's not take away their opportunity.
Well, let's take a look at Randy, who I guarantee you receives NGO money. This is Adam Hughes. Doge, this is from Doge, though, under Adam Hughes. Education executives, executives. What has Randy Weingartner ever done for a student? Can anybody name? I can. Zero. Like Randy, she's a consultant. She's in charge of a union for teachers, who I guarantee is subsidized via NGOs. So education executives. Why do we even have education executives? You're a teacher or not. Get in and get out. Simple as that. Education executives like Randy Weingartner make hundreds of thousands more than teachers, eight times the facts she takes home every year, $600,000 per year. I think I could squeak by on that. No wonder she's so upset that her conduit of finances is being cut off, that her source of financing is being cut off. That's all she cares about. Under Randy Weingartner's excellent tutelage of the biggest teachers union in America, under her tutelage, we're number 40 in first world countries in education. Number 40. 39 countries are more educated than American students. 39. And one's like America first. We should be first, but under tutelage of people like this who are just money grubbers, that's all that she is. That's why she's terrified of Doge. That's why Pelosi is terrified of Doge. Because she knows, and a lot of it, listen, a lot of people are like, well, where do they get money from NGOs? Even if they don't directly get money from NGOs, their friends do who then donate it to them. Or their friends do who then advocate for them. It's all tied. It's all going to Democrats. Not a cent is going to any Republican except for a Tom Ridge, Rhino Republican, who's part of like the Brookings Institute. As a matter of fact, I think he's part of the Atlantic Council. All right, here's a fun little story here. All right, lives a TikTok tweet. Breaking: U.S. Judge Theodore Chang, who was appointed by Obama, of course, just ordered Elon Musk and Doge to restore all of U.S. AID's operations. So a judge named Theodore Chang, another effeminate male, is telling the executive branch what to do in that they now have to restore. This judge believes that he has the power to tell the president of the United States, who's in charge of the executive branch, what the executive branch has to do. He believes that he has the power to do that. Go to the next one for me. Mila Joy tweet. This is the same guy, Judge Theodore Chang, the activist judge, just ruled that Elon Musk and Doge must reinstate USAID. Judge Chuang also recently blocked ICE from conducting raids. How does a judge block ICE from conducting raids? He was also the judge that stopped Trump's travel ban in 2017. Seems like he has something against Donald Trump. Obviously, because he is a Democratic Party activist judge. And somebody also put on Twitter, we need to now do a deep dive into his finances and see what NGOs he's actually tied to. Because I'll bet you they have something to do with USAID, of course. Let's go to the next one. Department of Government Efficiency tweet. For the past 2 weeks, Social Security has begun a major cleanup of their records. Approximately 3.2 million number holders, all listed age 120 or above. So in Genesis 6:3 says 120 is it, by the way. That's as long as everyone's supposed to live healthy till 120, by the way. That's the truth. The American Medical Association profits off you dying early. approximately 3.2 million number holders, all listed at age 120 or above, have now been marked as deceased. More work still to be done. Now, somebody complained about this. Somebody complained about this. This is a Babylon Bee video. Civil War veteran slams Elon Musk for taking away his Social Security. Play for me.
Hi, I'm Corporal Henry Thomas III. I fought for the Union during the War of Rebellion, volunteered in September 1862, was honorably discharged in 65, and Elon Musk is taking away my Social Security. Fought in Chancellorsville, Gettysburg, saw some action during the siege of Petersburg as rebel artillery fire exploded all around, and I watched as my brothers died by my side. I never thought the thanks I would get would come in the form of some billionaire oligarch deciding I don't deserve my benefits. It's hard, you know, going to the skeleton wife and skeleton kids and telling them I don't know where the next meal is coming from. If I ever meet this Elon Musk fella, well, I got a real bone to pick with him. Oh, a bone. I didn't even mean to do that. But anyway, billionaires should not be in control of our Social Security. This shouldn't be controversial. I hope you'll support me and my brothers in arms by writing your congressman and letting him know it's time to stop Elon Musk.
Excuse me.
No.
My throat is just bone dry.
Just bring it back. There we go. Aaron and I had miscommunication. But anyway, I wanted everybody to see when he dumps water on himself. It's too good to pass up. All right, let's go to the next one. Topher Field tweet. Australian universities will be in meltdown this morning. And people actually thought that Topher Field was not a conservative because of the next line, Donald J. Trump woke up and chose violence today. That is a he's being sarcastic. There's being facetious. This Topher Field is certainly not, he's like libertarian. But anyway, so you're like, what does this have to do with us, Tom? You're talking about Doge. Well, look at the next one. A questionnaire has been sent to everyone who receives U.S. government funding. What? Why in the world would a first world country like the United States of America be sending money to a first world country like Australia? But somehow you and I, again, Aaron, you got our debt clock up. You and I are sending money to Australia. Why? Why in the world are you? Because somehow or another, Democrats are getting rich off of it because it's sent via us. Again, USAID is nothing more than an NGO itself. You should just call it a GO, government organization. Because it's going there to benefit and make rich leftists, whether they're in the United States or not. All right, go back to my Topher Field tweet. All right, so the questionnaire has been sent to everyone who receives U.S. government funding, including many Australians. Are Australians starving to death? Why in the world is Aaron and myself and Heather and all the rest, why in the world are we funding university students in Australia? They will fail the questionnaire spectacularly. I've cut and pasted the below questions, which I think most, if not all, of our universities will fail instantly. So let's go to the next one for me. Here they are. Here are the questions, just so you know. Does your organization, this is what basically Doge sent to these universities, because if they answer the questions wrong, their money's gone. So Elon basically wrote to them this. Does your organization encourage free speech and encourage open debate? And all of the universities are freaking out over a question asking, do you encourage free speech? Because if you don't, you're not getting any money. That's what they're freaking out over. I thought Australia was a democracy. No, none of them are democracy. Actually, a CCP-controlled entity via Belt and Road Initiative. Here's another one. Does not work with entities associated with communists. Can you confirm that your organization does not work with entities associated with communism, socialism, totalitarian parties, or any party that espouses anti-American beliefs? Yes or no? Or you're not getting our money anymore. They're all going to think they can't answer any of, they cannot answer any of these questions honestly, or they don't get any of our money. And nobody's bothered to ask them for the last, I don't know, 40, 50 years that they've gotten our money. Does this project reinforce U.S. sovereignty by limiting reliance on international organizations or global government structures? Yes or no? Can you confirm that your organization has not received any funding from the PRC, including, it's People's Republic of China, including Confucius Institutes, which is nothing more than a CCP PLA cutout, Confucius Institutes, which many, of course, Democrats belong to, and or partner with Chinese state or non-state actors, Russia, Cuba, or Iran? Yes or no? Can you confirm, number 15, that this is that this is no DEI project or DEI elements of the project? Yes or no? Number 17, does this project support U.S. energy independence or reduce global reliance on hostile countries for energy resources? Yes or no? 19, does this project take appropriate measures to protect women and to defend against gender ideology as defined in the below executive order? Yes or no? There you go. Our money is going to institutions who cannot honestly answer these questions. And we all seen over the last couple of years what an absolute socialist totalitarian disaster Australia is. And man, what a compliant. If you're watching from Australia, I love you. And you, it may not apply to you. And there's one of my favorite accounts on Twitter is Milk Bar TV, which is right out of Australia. And that, and he stood in the midst of the most one of the most totalitarian COVID regimes ever under Dan Andrews. And Scott Morrison, who claimed to be an evangelical Christian, then ushers in the Mark of the Beast, or the purveyor, or the prequel to the Mark of the Beast, the vaccine passport. But anyway, he stood in the midst of it. So there's great Australians, but not very many. There's 96% vaccinated. So like 4% of Australia knew not to take the clot shot, knew not to take an experimental mRNA vaccination that doesn't stop transmission, doesn't stop infection, but does cause cause turbo cancer. All right, let's go to the next one. Elizabeth Helgelian video. Is that, where am I at here? What do you guys got?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, this is it. Is that the video itself? Oh, it looks like a post. Sorry about that. All right, developing video provided to review. Just side by side this one. Side by side it. Aaron, whenever you can. So this happened actually this morning at Tesla in Las Vegas, Tesla dealership in Las Vegas. Kind of serious business, would everybody agree?
Yeah.
Kind of serious business. Developing video provided to the Review Journal shows several Tesla vehicles engulfed in flames after Las Vegas police say they were set on fire by an individual early Tuesday morning. Kind of a big deal. Do Republicans ever do this? But yet then we're accused of violent ones. We're accused of being the violent ones. But we never burned down an Amazon because Bezos loved Joe Biden. We never did that, did we? Or any other? Did we ever attack Apple? Because was it Tim Cook?
Yeah.
Tim Cook loves Biden. Did we do any of those things? Absolutely not. But look at these are allegedly the purveyors of nonviolence are actually the violent ones every single time. Whether it's Antifa, whether it's Black Lives Matter, they are the antithesis of what they claim to be. All right, let's go to the next one for me. Elon Musk tweet: encouraging destruction of Teslas throughout the country is extreme domestic terrorism. I wanted to see Elon made a post about it. Go right to the next one for me. This is Mario Nafal in the subtweet. Tesla owners doxed: sell your car or stay on the list. This is what Democrats put out. They're the ones who accused J6ers of an insurrection when they were caught for trespassing, when they didn't know they were trespassing, but they're insurrectionists. But Democrats put out a list. A website called DogeQuest has reportedly published the names, address, and phone numbers of Tesla owners across the U.S. If I do eventually buy a Tesla, please come. I won't do it this time, Aaron. Put my address out like I did before.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But I did that early on in a COVID rage. But anyway, wasn't smart. But anyway, please come. You know, that's what you want. That's, if that's how you want to die, perfectly fine. You can die via suicide from ex-cop. Says suicide by cop, suicide by ex-cop. That's perfectly fine. A website called DogeQuest has reportedly published the names, addresses, phone numbers of Tesla owners across the U.S. That's lovely. There's a Democratic Party. How can you be a Democrat? Complete with an interactive map and a Molotov cocktail cursor. Isn't that lovely? The site claims it will only remove personnel personal data if owners prove they've sold their Tesla. So they're actually holding people hostage, just extorting people, in an apparent backlash to Elon's ties with the Trump administration. This comes as Tesla dealerships face gunfire, arson attempts, and Cybertruck owners report harassment, while anti-Tesla protests ramp up nationwide. Source, New York Post. So the people who claim to be nonviolent are the most violent. The people who claim that you are the purveyors of violence, are the purveyors of violence themselves, as usual. So it's just because Elon's being attacked. Tesla stock has gone down, and we, you know, in my opinion, it will rise back up, especially with the Trump economy. But also, he's actually getting a whole different market interested in Teslas, including myself. And I'm not doing it because I care about CO2. I'm just a big fan of Elon. And the Cybertruck can actually run my entire house, air conditioning included, if we have a power outage for 3 full days, which is just a few days short than those generators you buy at your house that run on propane, which how are you going to get your propane if the power's out everywhere? But anyway, I digress. All right, so here's what Elon is actually up to. Rapid Response 47 video. The NASA astronauts stranded in space for more than 9 months have splashed down in the Gulf of America. Play for me.
And we're going to stand by for splashdown located in the Gulf of America off the coast of Tallahassee, Florida.
And splashdown. Crew 9 back on Earth.
Let's go right to the next one. Rob Schmidt video. The astronauts were actually kind of greeted by dolphins. I just had to put this out there. Play for them.
This is smart.
Yeah. Making sure everything's all right.
Yeah.
Like, we got you.
And the libs of TikTok video. This is what Elon's up, on and about doing. Absolutely incredible. Democrats will never give Elon the credit he deserves. Here's what Elon did. He actually rescued these people. Play for me.
Big waves. Slid down the little ramp. And
that is NASA astronaut Nick Hague, commander of Crew 9.
Mobility aid.
Now out of Crew Dragon Freedom. Some smile.
Once again, some...
There we have it. Some waves, some thumbs up.
So here's what you believe in if you're a Democrat. You believe in the president at the time, Joe Biden, delaying their risk rescue for politically expedient purposes. So Elon Musk back in September told the Biden administration, I can rescue these people now. And they said no because, now they didn't use this verbiage, but one of the astronauts that you saw in that video confirmed this. The Biden administration did not want to rescue them. They're supposed to be in space for 8 days at the ISS, International Space Station, but they were there for almost 9 months. Elon Musk could have gotten them back in September. So that's September, October, November, December, January, February, and half of March. So we're talking about 7 months ago. They spent an extra 7 months in space because Elon Musk has the only spacecraft. Now, NASA has been operational since 1959. They had no ability to rescue those people. But Elon Musk could, and he offered the Biden administration, I'll go right now in September. They turned it down because it would make Trump look good if Elon rescued the astronauts. So they turned it down. You have to be a Democrat. You think about it. That's what you are as a Democrat. If you believe in not rescuing people because it's politically expedient, politically beneficial to do so. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025, that you believe in that. How in the world could anybody be a Democrat? And this very simplistically, how can you be so anti-Elon when he's the only one that can rescue astronauts? He's it. And you're so anti-Elon? You're just simply anti-Elon because he's trying to cut waste, fraud, and abuse in the government? That's what it means to be a Democrat. In 2025, you have to be anti-Elon Musk, which means anti-cutting waste, fraud, and abuse out of the government. Anti-rescuing astronauts. Anti-rescuing astronauts in September because it wouldn't be politically beneficial for Kamala Harris to do so. That's what it means to be a Democrat. You have to support those things to be a Democrat. That's where Nancy Pelosi actually stands. Truly amazing to me. All right, here's some fun stuff. Go to the next one for me. Let's go into some trans activism here. Unreal. And then we'll do a little bit of border too. Deerfield Middle School administrators forced teen girls to change in front of a boy in school locker room. That's hyperbolic. That can't be. It's the local paper. Deerfield School administrators Joanna Ford left. Looks like this all this wonderful marriage material. Look at that. She looks like a demon. Kathy Van Treese Center and Ginger Logeman, right? Forced teen girls at Shepherd Middle School to change in front of a boy. Did they actually do that? Yes, they actually did that. All right, go to the next one for me. Lives a TikTok video. Here's the mom of one of the girls talking about it.
I'm here to demand that the locker rooms and bathrooms at District 109 be designated as biological male and biological female, as there already is a gender-neutral option. The girls want their locker rooms and bathrooms back. They want their privacy back. This is why I'm here tonight. My 13-year-old daughter's well-being and mental health and privacy is at stake. This nightmare began on February 5th when my daughter was using the girls' bathroom and was stunned that a biological male student was using it as well. She came home frightened and was extremely upset. I asked her to talk with her teachers and find out more information. She was told by the administration that a student can use the bathroom as well as a female locker room because they now identify as female. I was sent an email to the teachers involved and received a call from Principal Wegley. He verbally reiterated that under Joanna Ford's direction and their legal counsel that the student could use both the locker room and bathroom. I expressed that the school was in clear violation of federal policy. The Trump administration issued an executive order restricting biological males from participating in sports and accessing female locker rooms. That day, I filed a civil rights complaint on behalf of my daughter with the Department of Justice. It has now been referred to the Department of Education. A federal complaint has been filed with the district to protect the students. The situation went from bad to worse. A few days later, the male student was present in the girls' locker room. Feeling violated, the girls made the choice to not change into their PE clothes with a biological male student present. The next day, Assistant Principal Kathy Van Treese pulled the girls into their office questioning them. The same day, Assistant Superintendent Joanna Ford, Kathy Van Treese, and multiple teachers all came into the girls' locker room, making them change into uniform. This went on all week with the addition of Ginger Laugerman. My daughter refused to take part in having her privacy being violated. How dare they? She ran out and called for me for help. Principal Wegley offering my daughter a new PE class. The answer was no. She is not changing for the remainder of the year, and she is not changing into another class. The girls just want their privacy, and they want their locker room back. There are gender-neutral options. This is my daughter's story and the story of many other young girls who have been forced at the difficult age to do something they know and most adults know is wrong. Do the right thing, Deerfield, and give these girls their locker room and bathrooms back. Allowing biological males to access girls' locker rooms sets a dangerous precedent that erodes the very foundation of female privacy and safety. By making this decision, the school board is not only disregarding the concerns of young female students and making their families, but also establishing a legal and policy framework that will make it increasingly difficult to protect the integrity of female-only spaces in the future.
Thank you.
Now, of course, this is actually in Deerfield. This is Illinois. Deerfield, I don't know if it's a town or whatever, but it's in Deerfield. I don't know why I struggle saying that. Deerfield Public Schools. It's in Illinois under, of course, Fatboy J.B. Pritzker. But anyway, just let's analyze this picture together, shall we? I wasn't going to do it, but T-Suff brought it up on here. Because I forgot, I thought about it yesterday, but Todd Suff brought it up, so I have to talk about it. What's up with the masks? I mean, again, what masks simply are and what they've always been is a sign of subservience, a sign of submission, and a sign of allegiance to the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist, in other words, the 2025 Nazi Party. So that's what it is. And you look at that guy to the left there who we're going to diagnose that. We're going to break down that shirt that he has on in just a minute because a crazy woman comes up with the exact same shirt. You want to talk about the absolute epitome of a school shooter. Look at that guy. Yeah. Trench coat with an that says protect trans is what his shirt says, with a buck knife on it between the protect and the trans. I mean, it's quintessential school shooter right there. Just the living embodiment of a school shooter right there. But a mask in 2025? What exactly are you protecting yourself from? Except maybe trying to protect your identity from being seen. All right, go to the next one for me. So this is it right here. This sums it all up. You will affirm this young lady immediately by disrobing her, by disrobing in her presence without protest. That's if you're a Democrat, this is what you stand for. Just so you know, if you're a Democrat, maybe you stumbled upon this show on Christian Television Network here in Southwest Florida. This is what you now stand for. This is the platform of your party. You will immediately affirm this young lady by disrobing in her presence without protest. There, all those people at that school board meeting that are in favor of it, this is, I mean, you really break it down and you put it into a picture. This is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. No wonder your approval rating is at record lows and Donald Trump's are at record highs. You're making it easy for him, and I love it. Keep on doing it, Deerfield School District. Love it. I feel bad for the parents, but you shouldn't be living in Illinois anyway. I want you to win. I want you to survive. I want you to do great. I want you to thrive. I really do. But Illinois is I don't want to say any state is beyond hope, but Illinois is in the Washington category with Jay Inslee, J.B. Pritzker, Gavin Newsom's California. I don't want to give up on any state, but Illinois is an absolute mess. All right, let's go to the next one. Lips of TikTok video. Here are the responses to the mom. I don't know. This video is kind of long. I don't know if I'll let it go for the full 5 minutes, but it's almost too entertaining to not let go for 5 minutes. Play it for me.
We're all very lucky to live in a state that protects everyone here. Specific to today, Executive Order 2019-11, which my kid was standing next to Pritzker when he signed, yes, an executive order from the governor. And in that order, it's called Strengthening Our Commitment to Affirming and Inclusive Schools, which protects trans, non-binary, and gender non-conforming students from the type of bullying that this parent represents. The discomfort or privacy concerns of other students, teachers, or parents are not valid reasons to deny or limit the full and equal use of those facilities based on a student's gender-related identity. Instead, any student, teacher, or other individual seeking more privacy should be accommodated by providing that individual with a more private option upon their request. Sounds like that would be a great option in this case for your kids.
And I'm here because our schools should be safe, inclusive places for all students where policies are based on facts and not fear-mongering. Let's be clear about what's happening. The claim that girls were forced to change in front of a boy isn't just misleading, it's a deliberate misrepresentation. What they're talking about, who they're talking about, is a girl, a transgender girl.
I use she, her pronouns. I'm the executive director for the LGBTQ plus Center of Lake County. And as clerk for Avon Township, I recognize the difficulties that you face as elected members of our community today. Today, I rise on behalf of nearly 2,000 transgender or gender nonconforming students across Lake County and the more than 10,000 who identify as part of our queer umbrella. Back in the 1980s, I was a young boy in middle school. I was a boy then. I didn't know any differently, but I never felt like I fed in. I intentionally stayed away from changing spaces, changing in private spaces, because of my fear of being in male-dominated spaces. I didn't know why. The language wasn't there. The experience wasn't there.
And I am the proud parent of a 17-year-old transgender son, and I wanted to come here as a community member and speak to a lot of things about this topic. First, my pronouns are she, her also. I wanted to say also that a lot of cis, part of the education is to know that a lot of transgender people pass. You wouldn't know that they're transgender. And so what do you want to do? Like have genital checks of people? Talk about privacy, an invasion of privacy. That is a logistical hurdle that you would not want to even try to accomplish. I don't think.
My pronouns are she, her, and I'm a member of the community here in Deerfield, and I've been gay my whole life. And transgender people have always existed and will always exist, and we need to make our spaces safe for them. Thank you.
Hi, I'm here as a teacher in a different district, but I'm here as a parent. I'm here as a parent of a kindergartner in this district who recently taught another friend when she said, your brother. She said, no, she's my sister. She's my sister because in her heart and her brain, she is a girl, and you should respect that. That is a five-year-old. We can do better, people. And please, please, we need to expand this just from the locker room and teach respect. Using appropriate pronouns is the first thing you do. Do not call this child a he. She is a she from her soul. Her brain and heart match that.
And she, her pronouns, community member, and part of the LGBTQ community. Thank you to the board for prioritizing the safety of the student that's been targeted by a organization that weaponizes religion to push the white supremacist agenda of their cis white husbands. Thank you.
Excuse me. Excuse me. This is, it's.
I have the mic.
Let's be respectful. Please be respectful of each other's times.
Listen. Targeting a middle school student because of your white God.
My white God.
Yeah. I'm really grateful to see how full this room is of support for this kid. Instead of the petty women that target him.
So Aaron, give me that pickup as quick as you possibly can. But this is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. This is what you identify with. That's why nobody's voting for you. Who in the world? I mean, look at the goth, I'm assuming, dude behind her. And what's up with bangs at the podium? I mean, you're talking about, I mean, this woman is obviously psychologically, pathologically imbalanced. Look at the shirt she has on. Look at the shirt she has, Protect Trans. That's the shirt she has on with a giant knife. Let's go to little pics that I have here. Here, this is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025, right here. See, I mean, seriously, this is what Democrats, you are asking Americans to vote for this. You're wondering why it is that Donald Trump won in a landslide. And by the way, he won in a way bigger landslide than we all know this already, because we're all red-pilled. But I'm just saying he won in a way bigger landslide than what has been put out there. Because the only states that Kamala won were the states that don't require any sort of voter ID at all. It's the only state she won, zero other states, zero. Because she's running on this being the platform of the Democratic Party. Running on this is what the Democratic Party supports. Good luck. And by the way, the ones that are trying to moderate, become more moderate. I guess it would be moderate. But anyway, the ones that are actually trying to moderate. Okay, all you need to do is throw a picture of this up. Whoever it may be, whether it's Ro Khanna and all these alleged John Fetterman, they're in at Gavin Newsom with his podcast, trying to moderate himself now. Put one of these out and say, do you agree that a man is a woman? I know Gavin's come out now and said men and women's sports, that's no good. Well, where was he the last 8 years? Where was he? He's doing it now because he's going to try to run for president as some sort of convoluted moderate who actually still believes in everything in this picture. He believes that this is normal, that this is okay, and that it's okay for administrators and teachers at a school to stand guard at a door and force a girl to disrobe in front of a boy. That's what happened here. Teachers would not allow that child to not disrobe. They actually made her strip in front of a boy. They all need to be fired and criminally prosecuted for child abuse. And these people are in support of it. One of them actually said that the parents are bullying. You're bullying a trans student when your own daughter was forced to disrobe in front of said trans student? And by the way, all of this is exactly what happened. And look at that look at that psychopath at the podium. Go to the next for me, Heather. So there she is. Look at their shirt. Protect Trans Kids. Really, look at that woman. If you, this is what it means. This, you support this if you're a Democrat. This is what you actually support. This is your platform. This is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025, along with a myriad of other things. Like you actually, you're anti-Elon Musk if you're a Democrat in 2025. What does it mean to be anti-Elon Musk? Pro-government waste, fraud, and abuse, and $37 trillion worth of debt. The status quo. Giving billions of dollars, not to you as a Democrat, giving billions of dollars to elitist Democrats like Nancy Pelosi. All right, let's go to the next one. Lives a TikTok tweet. Meet Jackie Gardner. Can we all just guess that Jackie's name isn't really Jackie? It probably is John.
Or Jack.
Yeah, that's right. Well, John and Jack are the same thing. That's where you get John and Jack from. So meet Jackie Gardner, an LGBTQ activist teacher. Shouldn't be able to be an activist and be a teacher. At San Jose Unified in California, of course. Just to ask Gavin Newsom, the new moderate Gavin Newsom. Gavin, you for this? You for this person teaching? He'll have to say yes, or he'll lose 30% of his voter block. Is that the craziest of the crazies are 30% of the United States of America. People who think that this is perfectly fine and normal and want it. They know it's not normal, but they want to make it normal. Jackie hosted a teacher workshop to train staff on affirming LGBTQ students and engages in anti-Trump, pro-trans and kids protests. These are the people responsible for teaching your kids. Go to the next one for me. Lives a TikTok video, meet Stephen Ireland, founder of, and this goes right along with what Aaron says about all these trans people, and I agree with him 100%, founder of an LGBTQ pride organization, was found guilty of raping a 12-year-old boy. Here's what he was on and about doing prior to going to prison, hopefully for the rest of his life. Play it for me.
And I see your true colors shine.
So that guy just was found guilty of raping a 12-year-old boy, but he's true colors, and that's why he loves you. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the border for a couple minutes. Man, is it 10:08? Mm-hmm. Holy crap. All right. Oh, man, I got to figure out. I might be able to. I'm going to squeeze it in. All right, news press right out of Fort Myers. Fort Myers police ICE agreement fails at city council. So get this. So the city council in Fort Myers, which is exactly 1 hour south, same coast of where I'm sitting right now, if an hour, mm-hmm. with no traffic, less than an hour. So, I mean, right here in free Florida. ICE and the Fort Myers Police Department came up with an agreement simply to do what? To honor ICE detainers. Isn't that what you have to do? Unless if you don't, you're an insurrectionist, according to Democratic Party ideology, is if you don't obey the federal government, you're an insurrectionist, right? So the Fort Myers police have simply said they're going to honor ICE detainers and cooperate as if they have any choice. Because, again, I was sworn in by a law enforcement agency 1 hour north of there called the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. And when I swore my oath in 1992, of which I honored for 25 straight years as a cop here in Sarasota County, you swore to uphold and defend the what? Constitution of the United States of America. So you don't even, these little agreements are ridiculous. And every one of these law enforcement agencies that do not comply with ICE should be dismantled as a law enforcement agency and replaced. If it's a city police department, you get replaced by the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office, you're replaced by the city PD. You have to comply. You've sworn an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And this is ICE. This is about deporting illegals. It's about deporting illegal immigrants. What choice do you have as a law enforcement officer? Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't you supposed to be dealing with illegalities as a cop?
Yeah.
And if the person's illegal, should you not be a part of deporting them?
Yeah.
So there's simply an agreement here between ICE, i.e. Tom Holman, and the Fort Myers Police Department to work together to deport illegals. And right now, the only ones they're working on are basically violent illegals. So that's what that was the agreement. And the city council says that the police department can't obey the Constitution of the United States of America? Somehow the city council trumps the Constitution? Somehow the city council can vote against agreeing with obeying the law? So the city council has more power than the law itself? And here's the, one of the city council members crying about it. She's actually crying. She's saying, the city is, my seat is not for sale. I'm not going to cooperate with federal law enforcement. You're not going to agree with federal law? Isn't that treasonous? I thought these people were all anti-insurrection. Here she is bawling her brains out right next to another person from out who's not, wasn't born in the United States of America, who's obviously, I guess I'm hoping, a legal immigrant into the United States, also on the city council. I'm not going to play this whole video, but I just got to see these women bawling about their local PD, Fort Myers Police Department, agreeing with ICE to obey ICE detainers and cooperate with ICE and deporting violent illegals. Play it for me.
Thank you for what you said. Thank you for your comments. I cannot begin to imagine how difficult this is for you. The argument, and I know there's no malintent to it, that we would risk federal or state funding if I don't sign up for this. It is a tumultuous day and age, and this is a day I hate sitting in the seat, but my city's not for sale.
Back to me. So there she is bawling her brains out, and what she's, and again, this is somebody who's never been victimized by an illegal. She's never had her daughter raped by an illegal. She's never been had her house broken into by Tren de Agua. She's never had that actually happen. She's never had her daughter raped and killed by illegals. She's never had that. So she likes to put on this veneer of virtue. Look at my virtue. I want everybody to stay because she's never been touched by the downside of letting these people stay. She's never been touched by it. I guarantee you there's no way anybody could actually touch her. So she is allowed to have this sort of virtue because she's never been victimized by that which she is advocating for herself. So she's sitting there going, you know what? My seat is not for sale. My city is not for sale. So what you're saying is that you're an insurrectionist. Talk about seditious conspiracy. So you are not going to cooperate with federal law enforcement enforcing federal law. This federal law, by the way, it's illegal. It's a felony to enter this country illegally. That in and of itself, and they're not even putting those people out right now. They will eventually, but not right now. What they're going after, the people that commit another felony after the initial felony of the felonious entry into this country. And she's against it. So she wants the rapist to stay. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Unbelievable. And cries about it. Cries about it. Hopefully, like many others, she doesn't learn the hard way. Go to the next one for me. Lives a TikTok tweet. Several migrant processing facilities, all funded by NGOs. That's why they're all so upset. The Democratic Party doesn't like this because these NGOs, migrant processing centers, are all run. They're NGOs themselves, and they're run by NGOs that are completely and totally staffed by Democrats who are receiving multi-million dollar salaries to do so. Several migrant processing facilities along the southern border have been closed, and this is what this woman stands for at the Fort Myers City Commission. This is what she's crying over. She doesn't want her Democratic Party pals to not get funding via NGOs, via the illegal immigration into this country. Several migrant processing facilities along the southern border have been closed and dismantled because there are not enough migrants coming across the border to use them. DOGE estimates the savings from these closures are around $600 million. $600 million. Go to the next one for me. Mark Lewis video. This video is just too good about Great Britain. How do you take over a country without firing a shot? Play it for me.
This is how you take over a nation by soft jihad. The mayor of London is a Muslim. The mayor of Birmingham is a Muslim. The mayor of Leeds is Muslim. Mayor of Blackburn, Muslim. The mayor of Sheffield is a Muslim. The mayor of Oxford is a Muslim. The mayor of Luton is a Muslim. The mayor of Oldham is Muslim.
Not going to this.
The mayor of Rochdale is Muslim. All this was achieved by only 4 million Muslims Democracy. Out of 66 million people in England. Today there are over 1,800 mosques in England. There are over 80 Sharia courts. There are more than 50 Sharia councils. 78% of Muslim women do not work, receive state support and free accommodation fines. A large percentage of Muslims do not work and receive state support and free housing some. State-supported Muslim families with an average of 3 to 8 children receive free accommodation here. Now every school in the UK is required to teach lessons about Islam.
At what point does England stop being England?
I would say that's already happened in places like London, where you have a minority white English.
And that's exactly what the Democratic Party wants to happen to America, whether it's Muslim or any other illegal entrance into this country. 78% of Muslim women in the UK don't work. Out of the 66 million people that make up the population of the UK, only 4 million are actually Muslim, and they basically rule the country. You heard all of those mayor positions in the country that are occupied by Muslims. 80 Sharia courts in the UK. Where you're ruled by the Sharia court. There is no other law of the land. Sharia police cars. And by the way, that's what they wanted to do in NYC too. That's the way a country's actually conquered, which is what the Democratic Party wants, until it actually happens. And that little crybaby will be on the Fort Myers City Commission will be crying, will be begging for Donald Trump after she becomes actually victimized by illegal migration herself. All right, that's it, 1017. Rumble Rants tonight just won. Nate Dad won $20. Thank you guys so much. Love you guys in the chat. Appreciate each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game. It will start in about 40 minutes, just a couple minutes of straight videos. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.